Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Burntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Burntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Whoa, it's a Thursday because we're recording today because we're all off tomorrow.
Scary Thursday.
You'll be listening to this on a Friday. Isn't it exciting? Happy Thursday, everyone. / Friday for if you're listening.
They won't be listening to it on Thursday. we have to do every day, really, to account for the possibility of when they're listening to it.
Well, I hope... if you're listening to this today, you have a lovely day today. And you know what? Every day, I'm not going to wish you to have a bad day, really. So there we go. What a stunningly smooth intro to a podcast that was.
It
was
probably better than last.
Probably better than last week's donut chat. We never really got actually a bit disappointed. Everyone, IGN_UKFeedback @IGN.com. No emails about donuts and what is the best shape of donut.
I agree with you about a yum yum for what it's
yum
worth.
Yum. I think it is the superior shape of donut. But Emma, you do strike me as someone who just likes it a jam donut.
What, just plain with the sugar on it, or?
I think so. I see you as, yeah, just like, you know, one of the Sainsbury's, like, 5 packs of jam donuts. Although the custard ones are better.
They're a bit hard, you know?
Well, like, it depends they're how a bit fresh you get them.
Dodgy. Like, I do like a Krispy Kreme because they're just, they're amazing. They're so light. But the problem with that is you can eat about 10 and not feel it. But I did actually try, like, a Greg's, it's like a hot yum yum. I got it delivered as well. Oh, so I felt very premium.
A yum yum delivered and hot.
It was hot and it came with this like caramel sauce.
They don't even put that on the menu too. That's a special one for you.
This is the secret Greg's menu. Yeah. That was incredible. Like I wasn't too bothered about yum yums before and now I'm really for them actually. Yeah.
There we go. What an inspired story.
I can believe that this is something that we've talked about on this show before, but I remember like in the, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, you'd get a supermarket packet of donuts and they'd be so heavily encrusted with sugar. And I remember really loving that, but they'd come in a bag too, and after I was done with the donuts, I just tip the sugar into my mouth. You ever do that?
I've definitely done that.
Almost definitely in my youth in the 90s.
It feels like the past is a different like planet in a way, because I'd never do that now.
Oh, I'd no, still do no, that.
I wouldn't do that with sugar. I would do it. I'd still do it, you know, with like the bottom of a Pringles can or something. Just tip all that out.
Sure.
Yeah. I've been getting less and less of a sweet tooth over the years. I used to be a big fan. Like, if you ask me what was, we've done it again. We've started food before anything. White chocolate always used to be my favourite chocolate up until like 5 years ago. But now, I think I'm firmly on the milk train. But there you go. Taste change as you grow older. That's what we've learned today.
You like Death Stranding now, for instance.
I do. We'll get. Do you know what? We'll get into that a little bit later. But after I said it's a game I only play in little half an hour chunks, I beat it in the last 4 days since recording, so that's 28 hours. Do you know what? I ultimately quite enjoyed, but we'll get into that. First, though, talking about Blast from the Past, Emma, you've played Dead Island 2, a game that was announced 9 years ago.
I know, it's weird, right? It's actually coming this April. I've played like 5 hours of it as well, which feels like quite a long time. So we got this preview build that basically starts you like right at the beginning of the game. And if you haven't like kept up with anything so far, like the story kind of kicks off with you survive a plane crash essentially. So a zombie outbreak happens in LA and you get on a plane to like be evacuated. The plane crashes and you end up getting bitten by a zombie, but you're immune. And instead of actually turning into a zombie, you just get some cool powers instead.
Imagine if that's what actually did happen in a real life outbreak. Everyone just got superpowers. No one died. That'd be amazing.
It would be chaos, but it would probably be pretty fun, right?
Yeah, I'd take it.
Yeah. So I like what I've played so far. It's pretty fun. So you get to choose between like 6 different characters and each one sort of just got a different play style. So I went for Jacob, who's like sort of mainly like damage per second and like chaining kills. That's kind of what he specializes in. But there's like a tanky character and there's one that's sort of more athletic. And you get these cards that are like skill cards. They're sort of split into like abilities and you unlock these through the game. Some of them are specific to slayers and some of them are more general. So you'll like unlock an ability like a dodge or a block. There's like a drop kick. And a cool ground pound as well, that you get that a little bit later into the game. That's really fun. And then, yeah, you have these skills that are like, they'll buff those abilities and they'll give you like other sort of little buffs as well. So like if you have like a build where you're dodging a lot, if you dodge in quick succession, you'll get like a speed attack boost or something like that. So it's kind of like a regular skill tree, but it's a little bit more simple. You've sort of got like, I think there's 5 ability slots. There's 4 sort of like sub ability ones that you can have to buff those. And then there's some like 4 slayer ones as well. And yeah, the most fun I think I had in the game so far was just kind of, you're really encouraged to be creative. When you're
out
in LA.
Killing. Like a lot of people don't know this about Emma. Like her favorite pastime is just killing,
zombies
in games.
Now. Yeah. Yeah. When you're walking around like LA, like there's, that obviously zombies everywhere, and sort of as you're going between like mission to mission and some of the areas, you'll be out on these like long streets and like fancy apartments and stuff. You start off in like Bel Air, so it's all like really, really shiny. But obviously there have been zombies, so it is in like disrepair as well. And yeah, like you're kind of encouraged to be creative in like the most twisted kind of way.
That suits you though, doesn't it?
I mean, it does for this. I did have a lovely time. Just, you know, like, honestly, you'll be walking down a road, for example, and you'll find like a jerry can of like oil. It's like, okay, there's a bunch of zombies over there. I'm going to throw this can at them, soak them in oil. And then you've got weapons and stuff that you can mod and you can put like elemental upgrades on. So like fire and electricity and stuff. So with oil, it's like if you pair that with like a fire cleaver or something that you've made, throw that at the zombies and they'll like catch fire, or you can like
just watch their flesh melt. That's what
you've
been doing all week.
Yeah, you just watch it melt, and it's really gross as well. Like they you can get up really close and like see how their flesh is all melting off, or like, you know, you've got like I'd use these claws that you could put on. I think they were like electrical ones, so mm-hmm. I'd sort of soak the zombies with water and slash away at them with the claws so they'd like get shocked and like electrocuted, and then you could see like their arms falling off and stuff. Yeah, it is really gross, but it does look really cool. And I had a lot of fun messing around with that to the point where we even made a video.
That's what I'm kind of getting from this game, is that it's kind of like, it's a throwback, but not like, sometimes people take like a throwback being like inherently bad, like, oh, it's a bit basic or it's like old school, whereas this, well, not old school's not necessarily bad, but you know what I mean? Like, this actually just looks like enjoyably just kind of simple, basic, just like, go out there, kill a load of zombies, and we're not going to layer it with like tons and tons of like open world, like map locations and mechanics and stuff. We're just going to set you off and like, here's some objectives to do in, because it's not quite an open world, is it? It's like set up in districts, so it's kind of...
Yeah, it's kind of split up.
I don't know, I'm thinking like, I wasn't really gonna play this, but I'm kind of thinking this might be just a good like turn off your brain kind of game.
No, I agree. Like the story so far from what I've seen doesn't seem particularly deep. Like the missions in the first 5 hours were relatively varied, so you're gonna see a good amount of the world and you're gonna see what's going on. But yeah, I feel like this would be a good one to play with someone, maybe co-op as well.
Oh yeah, forgot. Is it 4-player co-op?
I want to say it's like, I don't know if it's 3. I don't know if I'm remembering that correctly, but
it's more than one.
It's definitely more than one. You can play with a friend.
Co-op on your own.
But yeah, like I feel sort of, I spent quite a bit of time trying to see like how many of these explosions or electrocutions can I like chain together. Mm-hmm. I imagine doing that with a friend would be really fun as well. Just trying to set up all these traps and trying to make them work.
Yeah. I don't know, Matt, are you all interested?
Yeah, I don't think I finished the first one, but I definitely had, like, a little bit of a fun time with it, you know, getting all sorts of weapons and that. And even, it was simple at the time, too, and I think people really got on with it, like, just a little bit more complicated on top of a simple design. It's probably all you need.
Yeah, I felt like, yeah, some simplicity can go a long way. Like, I feel like we've seen this recently with a lot of first, but not, you know, like, this is an open world, but this sort of game, you know, your Far Cries and games like that, where they are, like I said, just like littered with things to do, and it can be overwhelming. It's like something like this, where it's just, yeah, simple, A to B. You know, they've got, there's probably some systems there they don't need. Like, do you need the cards on top of crafting, on top of abilities, on top of, I don't know. I haven't played it myself yet, but it just does look like it's a game, like you said, Emma, that just encourages you to just find your own fun and just, like you said, we've talked about the flesh system, but it is actually, despite being disgusting, like, very impressive. Like, this is up there with, like, when they first revealed the Resi 2 remake, and they always, like, showed off the, like, if you shoot their ankles, you'll see, like, the sinew fall off and stuff like that. Like, this seems on that sort of level. If you do want to go into, like, there's, like, kills, like, if you, like, I'm sure I've seen, like, them, like, basically punch into a zombie's face and rip the eyeball out. Like, you're, like, if you want some, like, proper, like, Evil Dead style, like, gore stuff, like, this seems like the sort of game for you, I think.
Oh, definitely. Like, I spent most of the preview kind of focus more on, like, melee kills and weapons, and you can get really up close to the zombies, yeah, and, like, see, like, as you can literally kind of punch through their skull right to the back of it. And yeah, like, I melted off some of their skin and, like, this, like, caustic goo stuff that was in a swimming pool. Like, you can, I love doing the drop kick if you, like, sort of get them close to a hazard, and then
was this while you were having the yum yum? Or you, like, I can imagine, like, yum yum in one hand and just melting
yeah,
flesh
exactly.
in the other.
Goes well together. They yeah. complement each other, you know.
Really starts your appetite.
But yeah, yeah. That was a lot of fun. Like, I'm hoping that it doesn't sort of start to feel repetitive, because, yeah,
I feel like it could.
It could, but, yeah. I hope yeah. that these, like, other abilities that you unlock and, like, more weapons and stuff will make it, like, sort of keep that pace of it being interesting and fun.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, like you said, it might even be a good podcast game. Just switch off, go around killing. Like, I've been doing it with lawn mowing simulator the last week or two, just switching off, mowing a lawn
just
before bed, you know. Like, this is similar vibes. Instead, I'll be cutting down zombies in LA, you know. What's not to enjoy about that?
You
like
doing, said, Croft Manor in
I've already done all the Power Wash DLC, that and the Final Fantasy one. I was on that day one. It's, yeah, I'm into my just mindless sim games at the moment, and although this isn't a mindless sim, it kind of is. If you treat it as zombie killing sim, if they called it that, it wouldn't be far off, I imagine.
Yeah, so that's how I've been treating it. Like, you know, obviously there are missions, and, like, some of the ones that we did are cool. Like, I think there's one you do with, like, an influencer or something. So, like, mm-hmm. it's very funny and, like, silly. And
I was wondering, I bet it's got a joke in there about being in Bel Air and, like, you slap something. Right, it's got to have a little joke in there. There's no way that they don't.
Themselves. They should, because they've renamed, not renamed, but they call LA Hele. Nice little twist on it.
Yeah.
In their game. They should have done it for all locations. They could have had, like, I don't know, Bell, Dead Air. I don't know.
There's going to be some Dead Air after that joke while it
yeah,
lands.
Exactly. I'm trying to think of any other Hollywood,
because of a ghost.
I don't know. Holly Blood doesn't make sense. Let's move on.
We should have
never have gone
ahead
down
of time.
That. Yeah, should never have even mentioned it. But yeah, like you say, it looks like some mindless fun. I could get on board with that. So yeah, nice one, Matt. You've been seeing a bunch of films that have come out
I've
the last
seen
week.
Every or movie some, that's coming out for the next quarter.
Every
honestly.
Single movie.
Yeah. We're gonna save Dungeons and Dragons until next week because
let's
we got
do that,
too many
first,
movies. But
why don't we let's go with the good one first, shall we?
Mm-hmm. Shazam! John Wick. John Wick 4 is bloody brilliant. It's one of those rare things. I've complained about it on the show before about, like, knowing that something's good before you're allowed to tell everybody. It's like there are scenes in this that I've just wanted to shout about for probably going on 2 weeks now. And
now you can.
It's wicked.
Kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. Either of you John Wick fans?
See, I'm not, and I feel like I need to revisit. I've only ever watched the first one, and for some reason, I'm convinced I was probably in the wrong mood, because everyone loves them, and I should like them.
You
like,
and
but I watched it, and I was like, yeah.
Kind of
like,
on the same
it's an
page
action
there.
Film.
I had watched the first one and thought it was all right, and then never really felt compelled to watch any of the other ones, and still hadn't. And then I came in for this one, and I thought the only thing that I knew about this was that it was, you know, it's a sequel to a movie that I thought was kind of okay, and it's nearly 3 hours long. So I was like, what am I in for? And it turns out it actually really earns that level of time that it takes for the movie. Nice. There's a couple like down moments that I think it could lose, which is what would prevent it getting a 10 in my eyes, even though it does on the IGN website, even though I'm very, very positive on this. But I think that the length of the movie, towards that like last hour of it, it's all just go. The movie's kind of about trying to make John Wick exhausted and still keep pushing through it. And you earn that through like the length of time it takes from one place to another. There are like three incredible sequences in that last little bit as well that I think are completely unmissable.
Because that's what I look for in action film these days. Not that I feel like I've seen, you know, every action film, but like I look for like those scenes that are either shot like I haven't seen before, or like feature some sort of, I don't know, moment that I just haven't seen before. Like, you know, it takes some ridiculously well, you know, choreographed like combat for me to like, since seeing like The Raid basically, to be like, totally. Yeah, that's something I haven't seen before. But like, does this have like some things you were genuinely like, I've not seen that before?
Yeah, absolutely. That last hour, there are three full like set piece sequences that are completely new for a movie that I don't think I've seen done before. I don't want to spoil them. I mean, you got to get through the movie to get to them. And then like an early scene as well, is like, it's been in a couple of the trailers, but it's him with a nunchuck as well as his guns. And it really reminded me of the thing that like Jackie Chan likes to do of focusing in on a specific object for a fight, and then using it in every possible way they can do before the end of it.
Yeah.
And I caught myself thinking, like, this scene has kind of made its point, and then it continues for about maybe 5 more minutes. And in my head, I'm like, oh, this is kind of dragging a bit. And then I have to second guess myself. I'm like, no, it rules. Like, he should just keep doing this. He should do this for the rest of the movie. Like, I kind of had to get over a hurdle of, like, the scene's done, but it was just like, no, I want to keep watching him mess around with a nunchuck and hitting lads.
Like, is it tell a good story, or did you find yourself kind of like waiting for the next action?
It tells the type of story that I've been told these movies like to tell. My favorite thing I think to say about this movie is that it's the kind of movie that would have a character called Kane in it, who is a blind man. And you get over it. You're like, that's the kind of writing that this movie has, but it's fine.
Maybe it's an ode to Kane and Lynch.
Perhaps, yeah.
It's long overdue.
I think the story's fine. It's a little like rote and tropey, but it's good. I think everybody gives a pretty decent performance in it. Bill Skarsgård, really good as a like menacing villain.
He's good at being a creep, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Which played really well in Barbarian as well, as kind of being a creep, but also kind of not being a creep, which makes him even more creepy. I couldn't have imagined anybody else in that role. And he like is this like just pompous, arrogant arsehole in this that really good. Keanu doesn't talk a lot, but his action is, you know, through words, words.
I know everyone likes Keanu, but I always do think he's best when he doesn't speak. And that's not necessarily me saying he can't act, but I think he's good at doing the silent sort of like brooding. Like,
yeah, he's a presence like, more than he is a performer, I think.
Yeah, I like when he's good at being out of place. Like in The Matrix, like for most of it, he's like just looking like, where am I? What am I doing? You know, Point Break, he's kind of a bit like overwhelmed at times as well. Like I like overwhelmed Keanu Reeves is what I like.
Sure. He is not at any point in this. I mean, a lot of overwhelming stuff happens to him and he just gets over it. It's great.
Just takes it all in his stride.
Yeah.
Yeah. God. He's almost 60. He's doing well.
Yeah. There are scenes that, if you know that about him, there are scenes that take place in this movie that you really, really worry about. Yeah, check out John Wick. I think if you were going to anyway, I'm not going to be the one that convinces you. But if you weren't going to, let me give you a... Yep. Go see this fucking movie.
Has it inspired you to go back and watch 2 and 3?
Maybe, yeah. I may do that. Maybe on a future episode of this show, I'll give you my rundown of my Wick, tier list.
I'll do them at some point. I'll get through them. I don't know what it was. I can't even put my finger on it. It's just sometimes, you know, you just watch that and you're like, yeah,
Yeah. It's a shame that you're about to go on an international flight like now as well. This would be great in a couple months from now when it's on.
Yeah, I'm looking at that flight. Oh, I'll find some things. I just got Metroid Prime today for my birthday.
That's very nice.
Yeah, so I'll get that on the flight. I've never played Metroid Prime, so that is definitely one I need to tick off. So some flights will do that. Matt, now we have to go on to the one you didn't enjoy as much. Which, you know, it's a shame.
I'm gonna pull the curtain back a bit about how all this works. So I went to a screening for John Wick, and then I went to a screening for Shazam the next day. And I'm on kind of a high. I'm like, I can't be beaten. You know, all the movies that I go to see, like, it's gonna rule. And right after a lot of press screenings, the PR will send you an email that's like, oh, we'd really love to get a feeling for like what you thought about the movie. And I never want to be rude, so I just typed back like, oh, it's given me a lot to think about for features and whatnot going forward.
I tend to not reply if I really didn't like the film.
And so they email me back after me having said that and say like, oh, that's great to hear. What did you think of the film? And I just reply, got nothing for you at this time.
Yeah. Well, yeah, it's too, you know, if it's at like, I will give feedback if it's at like a preview event for a game, so they still have time to fix things in a game. But when it's a film that's out in a week, you're like, there's nothing you can do about this now.
The only thing that I'm going to do is come across rude. Like, there's no point. I totally agree.
I've still never seen Shazam 1. I never had a great deal of desire to. I think the only way I would have seen Shazam,
if Charlie 1, Sheen was in it, put exactly, him in the Shazam role,
is if people are like, this sequel is unbelievable. Sadly, doesn't sound like it is.
Yeah, I also hadn't seen the first one as well. I clearly don't go watch movies. We're learning that now.
Welcome to the Shazam Expert Podcast.
But yeah, I thought, you know, kids movie, whatever, go ahead and do it. Something that I often say about this job as well, it's really important to keep a good perspective that when I don't love a part of this job, I don't really want to moan about it because I just think that I could be down the mines.
We literally have no reasons to moan.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It rules. Yeah. But this was the first time I was like, oh, no, I can't believe this is part of my day.
Yeah, I mean, we've all had it when you're halfway through a film, you're like, I could have actually, you know, written something today.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, oh well.
Yeah. So the movie, it is about 50 different things at once, and none of it really properly lands. Like, it's sort of about Shazam having imposter syndrome, it's sort of about him feeling a disconnection from his family, it's sort of about him feeling as if he's getting older and he's about to like, he's in the foster system, and when he turns 18 he's not going to be part of this foster system anymore, so it's a bit about him being worried about that. It's a bit about like trying to form relationships. And it's a little bit about like trying to mend a gap in communication between you and the people around you. And it doesn't do
and
any of that.
It's about flying around and hitting things.
Yeah, exactly. That too. It's about punching. It just doesn't resolve any of them at all. It's not
very... Is it
very
funny at least?
No, because... it's not very funny either. Yeah. There's like... there's a character in like the first scene of this movie that is like doing... like jokes at you and none of them land, and I just thought to myself that like, and you know, I don't think that anybody isn't there are very few people that are bad actors, but I just thought that this person in this role,
I'm a shocking actor.
Yeah, but if you're a professional actor and you've gone to the point of like going through auditions and getting to movies, you're there for the right reason.
Yeah.
But I just thought like a weird character actor would have been really good in this role. Like I don't think that like the comic relief in that scene was just miscast, and that just keeps happening for basically the whole movie.
I would have thought that there's at least some enjoyment to found, like the trio of what, Helen Mirren, Lucy Liu, and Helen and Rachel Ziegler. That is a good trio. Surely they at least have a bit of fun.
They're very good actors, and unfortunately they just don't get a lot to do. They're very like one dimensional and kind of wooden. They're underutilized.
Well, I don't know if there's more to dig into on it.
It sounds like a shame.
There's a moment though, despite myself, between two characters where they have this like emotional resolution, and I did find myself being actually like quite emotionally touched by it. In a way that I was like, oh my god, I can't believe this movie is doing this to me. This movie's making me have feelings. So maybe watch it for just that. You'll know when it hits. There's also extended product placement for Skittles at some point, which is egregious. You will notice. Yeah.
Amazing. It's this one kind of feels like the kind of the end of an era for DC films. We've got James Gunn coming on. This feels like the last, like, almost remnant of the old DC.
Strange. Yeah, I read a piece of The Independent that said that it feels as if it's almost inconsequential, like, by its own nature, that mm-hmm. this story is about to be completely erased, and it kind of is a sequel to a movie that was, you know, had a middling yeah. reception in itself.
Does it kind of feel like they're almost like you know, it's not lean onto a fan? There's been a cameo revealed in a trailer. We won't necessarily mm-hmm. say who that is here, just in case you didn't see it. But, like, are they trying to link up with all this stuff? Or does it feel like they're kind of just like, this ends and like, it could easily never come back?
Yeah, it felt more like they just needed to have a cameo in it for something interesting to happen. Because I don't think that character is going to appear in any of the upcoming stuff, too. So,
yeah.
Be interested to see. Like, I think that is the interesting part about this. It feels like something that exists before something else. It feels like a very liminal movie.
It does seem like a shame, because I know people did enjoy the first Shazam quite a bit. It did feel like a bit of a fresh air for DC movies. But now I suppose we've got a massive breath of fresh air coming with James Gunn, and obviously the Batman came out last year, so it feels like hopefully we've got some good stuff coming from DC, where it does feel like maybe the powers are shifting a little bit, because Marvel seem to be on that ever slowly decreasing kind of trajectory. But you can't, they might turn it around, who knows. We've got Guardians in 2 months, so we do have more Marvel James Gunn. So he's everywhere, isn't he? Where does he
really
find
like those Guardians
the
movies?
Time? They are very good.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
Hello, my name is Alison Larkin, and I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of the Jane Austen podcast. This podcast brings Jane Austen's stories to the 21st century, along with commentary from me and conversations with fascinating people who all share a love of Jane Austen. And of course, we had to start with none other than Pride and Prejudice. So join me as we embark on a journey through some of the most wonderful stories I know. The Jane Austen podcast with Alison Larkin is available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Do you know what I found myself surprisingly enjoying? Death Stranding. I talked about it a bit last week, but since then I played like another 15 to 20 hours and I finished it. I made the foolish decision of thinking I was at the end of that game at about 11 p.m. the other night.
Kojima, I'll get you like that.
Yeah, I went to bed at 3 because it did not stop. It just did not stop. And I was like, a lot of endings to that game. I ultimately, though, do you know what? I did really enjoy it. I just appreciate that. You know, in some quarters now, Kojima's a little bit of a laughing stock, I think, just because, he does some funny stuff. Like, he does things that no other game creator does, like, it is funny when he puts like edited by Kojima on his trailers. Like, there's no need to do that. Like, you know, come on. But like,
he's in on the joke. He knows though.
He must be like, but I just, and there's like points in this game where he's definitely on the joke. He is winking at you. Like, it is a bizarre game, and that it is at times so self-serious, but at times the most winking, like, meta game I've ever like seen in my life. It's so weird, and I just appreciate the full swing. Like, I'd rather someone did that and made what am I, it's probably like a 7 out of 10 game that has some like truly bewildering like lines of dialogue and bewildering stuff going on, and I'm just like, oh, like, why did you do that? But other times, things I've honestly just never seen before, concepts for a story I've kind of not really seen before. Like, I'm not, it's not a hundred, it's by no means 100% success when telling that story, but it definitely tries to do things that I've not seen or heard before, and I appreciate it for that. And yes, the gameplay is a bit repetitive. I do think the second half, once you get through like chapter 3, it's like 10 hours long. I don't know what they were thinking there. I get the point behind it. It's like, this is the point where you're trying to connect everyone, and this is the point where you're learning what your role is in this world, but it just goes on a little bit too much. And it does kind of pay off in the story in the end, whereas like Norman Reedus does do some good stuff towards the end of the story, because for the first 2/3 he's kind of silent for a lot of it. But I want to be a big shout out to Tommy L. Jenkins, who plays Die Hard Man in that game. He is phenomenal. There's bits near the end of that game where some of the best like motion capture action I've ever seen. Like, the tech they've got for his face is phenomenal. And I'm probably like saying things that are 3-year-old opinions here, but I don't know how we went. I remember the Game Awards, we like people nominated Norman Reedus, Mads Mikkelsen for their roles in this. He's by far the best performer in that game. Like, so yeah, there we go. Belated shout out to Tommy L. Jenkins for Die Hard Man in Death Stranding.
Finally getting his dues here. Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? It's made me, I rewatched, the part of why I wanted to play this is because I watched the Death Stranding 2 trailer when they revealed it a few months ago, and I was like, that looks very cool. And I rewatched the trailer after playing this, and I was like, I'm just extra pumped now. I think I'm a big Death Stranding fan now. Despite thinking it's an absolute 7 out of 10. I'm just into it. I'm into that world now. But yeah, I don't know, have you played it or finished it?
No. I haven't played it because it looked kind of boring, right? But I heard that the story was also pretty wild, so I'm kind of like, should I play this now before Death Stranding 2?
I would, because I wouldn't be surprised if Death Stranding 2 is almost a completely different game. I'm not going to say he's going back to Metal Gear, like stealth action, but I wouldn't be surprised if you play as like Fragile, or you like do something different, or I don't know, I'm sensing a different tone, and it just looks creepy, and I'm into it. Like, Troy Baker's good at being a creep. But yeah, I enjoyed all the oil whales and tar pits and stuff.
There are whales in it.
Oh yeah, sorry, I forgot about that. Yeah, there's loads of whales in this game. This is probably your worst nightmare,
actually.
Do you
get close to them, though? Are they far away? Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, it's good to have that warning in advance, isn't it? Like,
I think, did you know this about Emma?
Oh, no.
One of Emma's like deepest set fears are whales.
Is it like being out at sea and being eaten by a whale, or just...
So yeah, it's like a fear that I sort of didn't realize I had, and then I was playing The Blue in VR, and you know how the big whale comes past? It was just like the sheer size of it and like the noises it was making just really freaked me out. And now I'm terrified of them. But yeah, I think I'm just scared of the sea in general. You know, like, I've had dreams where I'm at, like, the bottom of the ocean. And you know when you look up and you can kind of see the sun, like, above you? That just terrifies me. The thought of just being really deep underwater.
Okay, this might not be the game for you, because, like, multiple times you, like, dragged underwater and dragged into pits. Oh, and you look up and have to, like, reconnect with the... Like, God, this might be... Despite it's got horror, it's definitely got horror bits, this game. I wouldn't call it a sci-fi, not a horror, but like, it's probably the most horrific game you could play, Emma, by the sounds of it. So
maybe I just need to be brave and try it. Like,
you need to respect the sea, really.
I
would encourage doing what I did and put it on the easiest difficulty possible, and not have to worry about the combat, not have to worry about a lot of the stuff, and kind of just enjoy the journey of it. Like, I honestly can say I wouldn't have got through this game if I played it on a harder difficulty and I actually had to worry about the combat. For me, this game doesn't have the most interesting gameplay mechanics in the world. So I got it, I think it took me 28 hours, and I just beelined it. Like, that's still a lengthy amount of time, but bear in mind about 4 hours of that at the end is cutscenes.
So, well, that's a nice little movie to finish it off.
Yeah, well, you say that, and it's a movie that's cut up into segments of you walking around for 2 minutes, so you can't even put the controller down and enjoy. Aww. You have to. But the music, so, people have shouted out the music for. Great music. And, you know, open my eyes to Low Roar, who were a very good band. But there we go. Death Stranding. Check it out if you haven't. That's my suggestion. We're going to go straight to feedback this week, just because I think we're actually going to jump off of some feedback to talk about other things. So it's not going to be a quick feedback session by any means. IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com. Let us know about Death Stranding and donuts if you want to. I've got the first email here from Marco Hutchins, who says, "Hey guys, just finished The Last of Us TV show and thoroughly enjoyed it. But if you're doing any sort of spoiler chat for the series, I was hoping to hear what made Cardi, that's me, give the show a 9 rather than a 10 in his review. I'm not going to read the praise, but he says, I certainly don't think it was a perfect season of television, but I'm curious what held it back for him, because I would probably have given it a 10 myself. Love the podcast. Have a great weekend." We're not going to talk spoilers, I don't think. If you played the game, nothing really to be spoiled for you anyway. But just in case you're someone who, you know, I'm sure we have people who listen to our show who don't really play games and just watch TV and films, so might still be watching it. But in response to that, why didn't I give it a 10? For me, a 10 like has to move the needle, has to do something like pretty special. And I have given out a few in the last in the last year or two, but there are things that I truly believe are like special. Like, I gave one episode, I gave what, episode 3 a 10, so I did think that was like,
that was incredible,
a masterful episode of television.
Yeah.
And it's also just, for me, like, to give a whole season of television a 10, that's a very high bar. Like, I think it's harder than for a game or a movie or a single episode, because you have to have that consistency, you have to keep the story going, there has to be character, and there has to be a payoff towards the end. Like, it's very hard. Like, I think we might talk about it here, like, any examples we have. Like, it's very rare to me to think of, like, a 10 out of 10 television, like, one season of television. Like,
Did you do it with... You didn't give Andor the 10, did you?
No, I gave 2 episodes of it a 10.
Mm-hmm.
Again, like, there were episodes that were 8s. Mm-hmm. And 7, so like, as for me, like, as a whole, like, it's very hard, I think. Like, we'll open this up as well, IGN_UK feedback@IGN.com. could be a good chat, like, what's one season of television you think is a 10 out of 10 masterpiece? Like, for me, like, even like, I think The Sopranos and Mad Men, very obvious picks, but also probably my 2 favorite TV shows. Even amongst them, I'm not sure I could pinpoint one season that I'd be like 10 out of 10 season. Like, when I think of that, the first ones that come to mind are, I really love season 3 and 4 of The Wire. Like, yeah, they'd be up there
pretty,
for me.
Pretty
really good. Yeah.
I'd also, True Detective season 1, I just think is a perfectly encapsulated
good.
Season. I would give that a 10 out of 10, I think.
Yeah. And it's good that they didn't make any more.
Look, 3 is incredible. People sleep on 3. 3 is, like, I'd give 3 a 9. Like, and do you know what? 2 was okay. 6. But 3 is brilliant. I can't wait for season 4 with Jodie Foster. That's going to be fantastic, I think. But yeah, it's very rare. Like, I think we talked about it earlier. I don't know if you want to talk about it, Emma, but like, there's some Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. Like, I think the final season of Better Call Saul for me was approaching a 10, if not a 10.
Oh, definitely. But I think, yeah, the last season, because it does so well at just tying everything up as well, like everything they've been building towards, especially with a show like that where Better Call Saul is more of like a slow burn. When you sort of first start it off, it starts off really slow and sort of you're building up to these like really big things happening.
Yeah,
and I think it's just like, it's just a great show overall. But yeah, the last season, especially the last like finale episode, is just amazing.
Yeah. Do you have any, Matt? Like, it's hard, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
one season,
it really
of television
is. I mean, you know, if I'm allowed to talk about anime, I mean, not
allowed
to say no.
It's a TV show.
Yeah. think, like, there are shows that have only gotten one season that I, like, hold really dearly. So there's a show mm-hmm. called Keep Your Hands Off Aizuken, which just one of my favorite things that I've ever watched. And I think it's basically essential for not just everybody to see, but it's, like, I've changed my life having watched it. And it'd be difficult for me to not have that have a 10, personally. Mm-hmm. Also, I think that Andor, personally for me, it gets it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm not going to say you're wrong.
you know, I still haven't watched Andor. I need to catch
good,
up.
Good, mate. Check out Andor if you get the chance. Check
I've been
out
watching
Disney's
The Mandalorian, but I haven't watched Andor.
They tried to make Andor of the last episode of The Mandalorian.
The Andorlorian.
Yeah. Well, it ended up being a bit Blandalorian, if you ask me. But it's okay. It's not Andor, is it? I'm trying to think. There's like shows I absolutely love, but like 10 out of 10. Like
it's
even
tricky.
Like Twin Peaks. Not a 10 for me.
I think Succession is really good. And that's coming back soon as well.
But I don't think they've had a 10. No, there's 10 out of 10 episodes. But like,
yeah,
I'm rewatching season 3 at the moment. And like, I was thinking like, oh, if I was reading this, what would I think? Because I can't turn my brain off to critical thought anymore because I'm broken. I was like, oh, these first two episodes of season 3 are 8s. I was like, so like, I don't know. It's so hard to do, like just putting like scores and anything anyway. But like, what are the best? Fleabag season 2, that's good.
I was thinking about Fleabag season
Fleabag
1.
Is
yeah.
Good.
Season 1, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, well, was also like Killing Eve season 1 as well, but I don't think it's there. It's nearly.
Planet Earth, that's good.
Oh God, I also want to talk about Attack on Titan a little bit as well, like maybe season 3. Season 4, because it's like 100 episodes in season 4, probably not. But season 3 has a like completely game-changing thing happen every episode, and it's really, really good.
Yeah. There's a lot of good TV. What is the... We're essentially asking people, what do you think is the best season of television?
Yeah.
but yeah, let us know. IGN _ UK feedback at IGN.com.
That's very good. Dramatic.
I don't know why I did it like that. What's the next email, Matt?
It is from Anthony Clegg, who has made absolutely certain to tell us that the following message is not Cardi bashing.
Good. Yeah. I don't want any of that.
So Anthony says, "Hi guys, long
on my
time,
birthday as well,
fourth
on
or
my
fifth
birthday.
Time." Yeah, exactly. It'd be very rude. My question to you is: have you ever had a celebrity / podcast presenter who you really like? You feel like on a night out you'd have a laugh with, but whenever they recommend something, you think, "Oof, not for me, bro." So I'm sure you guessed it, but mine's Cardi. I find him funny, likable, and he seems to
don't
share
to
a sense of humour
out.
With me. Yeah, I can cut this part out. You don't need me to do this. So I appreciate I have the problem, but that's not my point. I find it weird that someone you know would click with has fundamentally different views on one of the activities you spend so much time indulging in. Anyway, respect the sea, grave diggers, and try Weetabix with butter on. From
I mean, Anthony. It's just the classic peep show line of people listen to Coldplay and vote for the Nazis, isn't it? Like,
yeah, can't trust them.
No, exactly. I mean, I think it's normal to have friends you just have differing opinions on. Yeah,
but I feel like if you like relate to somebody based on their criticism, and there are some bits of criticism that you just go like, I know because you don't like it, I probably will like it. Like I think that's a unique.
Well, I don't know if I spoke about. Did I speak about this last week? I can't remember who I spoke about. I think I spoke about it last week, but like a perfect example is there's like a lot of movie critics and podcasts I listened to that loved Nope last year, thought it was like film of the year, and I thought it was absolutely just meh. I didn't get it. It wasn't for me.
It's because
it's about you, though, isn't it? Isn't it like it's about like media criticism, isn't it?
I don't know. But then again, lots of media critics absolutely loved it. They thought it was like I don't know. I need to watch it. I thought it was beautiful to look at, but I don't know. It didn't blow me away by any means. But like things like that, you just disagree with. You can't agree with people on everything. I mean, I do know I like slow long films, but I'd also say like it's not an unpopular opinion to think There Will Be Blood or The Godfather are good. So you know. A lot of people do like those.
When you were telling the story earlier about Death Stranding and staying up till 3, I remember the first time that I watched Godfather 2, and I was like up late because I had to return my copy of it to the friend I'd lent it from. I was like, oh, cool, I'm at the end of, like, you know, it's only got so much left of the movie, I'm at the end of the disc. Yeah. It's got another disc, done it. I had to stay up to like 2 watching it.
I used to do that. Maybe this is where my love of like long films has come from. Like, I used to do it all the time as a kid. Like I'd make a big deal of like when I don't know. I was probably like 7 or 8, and like like wanting to stay up. You know, when you're a kid, you're just like, you want to stay up for no real reason. You're just like, I want to stay up late. And I'd always be like, oh, can you put on a film? And I'd always just find the longest film I could. So I'd end up like at the age of seven, like just watching.
Please, North let's put by on Northwest.
I'm sure North by Northwest is like 2.5 hours or something. And it's like, I love that film. But like as a 7 year old, was I really appreciating the Hitchcockian thrills? I don't know. But yeah, maybe that's where my love for long films comes from. But,
check out John Wick.
Yeah, and check out North by Northwest if you haven't seen it. Definitely not a boring film.
So. I do have an answer for this. I used to really like the Mega 64 podcast back in the day. Mm-hmm. I used to love their sketches. I still do now. They just release fewer of them. And I love listening to the show because they would recommend something and I'd just go like, you lads are funny, but you have no idea what you're talking about with this. So I'd almost do anti-recommendations. I'd go out of my way to ignore them.
Do you know what? I often like, I know people don't like necessarily hearing different opinions in this world often anymore, but like I actually quite like I say that, like I'll use the Nope example again, like I listened to like an hour podcast about it just because I wanted to like learn what people liked about it, and it can make you think differently about something and make you want to watch something again, like just because there is value in, you know, hearing people's opinions on things you don't like.
I think you gain a more informed opinion by knowing what people would say about it in the opposite direction.
In the same way, there's, you know, probably a lot of people in the world that like There Will Be Blood that I don't like. So, you know, at the same time, there's probably a lot of people I don't like. So, there we go.
They like it for different reasons. They're like, oh, Daniel Plainview. Oh, he's so cool.
How do we feel about Anthony's sign-off there, though, with dry Weetabix with butter on it?
I think, regardless of how we feel, it's part of the of the canon now.
just like you know, you probably wouldn't dare to tell me The Godfather is bad. If, you know, you might like The Godfather. Sorry if you do. I'm not sorry. Well done to you. But, you know, I'm not going to tell you that you shouldn't have butter on your Weebix. I'm just going to go, it's not for me.
How does it work, though? Like, are we talking, like, chunks of butter, or are we melting it? Because if it's melted, maybe it will... I don't know, maybe it will make the dry Weetabix not
I think it's
dry.
Literally just spread on.
Is it in milk toast. Still as well?
Yeah, like toast, I'm thinking.
But I'm thinking they've put butter
no,
on it.
No, you're not
having
butter with milk. It's dry Weetabix.
Oh yeah,
I guess
dry,
because
sure.
You've specified it's dry, yeah, it must just be spread.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But to say you don't like Paul Thomas, come on. It's absolutely acceptable, it's fine. I know it's a good few reasons why you might not, but there you go. Emma, what's the last email?
So the last piece of feedback is from Marcus Escott, and Marcus says, "Hello crew, I've just finished watching Midsommar for the 5th night in a row."
Ooh.
I know.
That is just a lot of emotions.
Watched that much? Like, have you rewatched something immediately? Like,
have I? I think that's where we're getting to with the question.
Go on.
Have I ever? There was a time when I was at like university. I'm pretty sure we watched like Anchorman 4 days in a row. But that's. I feel like with a comedy, that's like 80 minutes done. It's like you're basically just doing a quote along at that point.
Yeah, it's for
Midsommar. Midsommar is not
that's
a laugh.
It's definitely something.
It's a great film. I really love it.
I remember we like being about like 19, like doing a gap year from uni and having a job, and then like after finishing being at the pub with mates, we'd always go back to mine and watch the movie Basketball. You ever see that flick?
I do not know what that is.
Yeah, it's Matt Stone and Trey Parker of South Park fame in their mass theatrical debut. Got a couple gags you can't do now.
Probably, yeah. How can I imagine?
Yep. But I don't know why it was that movie specifically, but they were like, oh, put on Basketball, mate.
Yeah. I don't like 5 nights in a row. Like, I don't even think I've... I can remember at uni, it's not one of my favourite films, I do really like it, but like for some reason I decided to go to the cinema 2 days in a row to watch Django Unchained when it first came out, like opening weekend. Like, I don't often see films at the cinema more than once anymore.
It bores me, honestly, if I see them in quick succession.
And we get onto the Paul Thomas Anderson one. I know a lot of people don't like this film, but I saw Licorice Pizza 3 times at the cinema. But I'm into it.
It's expensive at the cinema as well to go multiple times now. Like when you're a kid and it was like a fiver, it's like, oh, okay, so whatever.
That's when I do realise my privilege when two of those were press screenings. So, like, you know.
Did you go to the first press screening and then sign yourself up for another one?
For the media one, yeah.
Wow. I could have done that for Shazam, so.
But you didn't. I'm trying to. What? Is that the end of? Has Marcus got more to say?
Marcus has got a little bit more. So, Marcus says, in my opinion, Midsommar's the greatest horror movie I've ever seen. I pick up something new every rewatch. What films and games have you played or watched multiple times in a row and always come away with more from them?
Oh. See, I have really weird comfort films.
Weird ones.
Like they're not they're not comforting. They're like really long, hectic ones, like Boogie Nights, like Wolf of Wall Street. I can put those on any time.
Really?
And like they're 100 miles an hour, like cocaine fueled.
Yeah.
Like, and like I don't live my life like that. It's like
it's like, escapism.
Exactly. Yeah. They just fly by. Like I think, and they are both. They're not strictly comedies, but they're, you know, bordering on comedies. So like it helps. Yeah. But like I don't. I'm not a big rewatch. Like I'll watch things like once a year. I don't do what Marcus has done here and rewatch a film five nights, sorry, especially Midsommar. Are you okay, Marcus? Like what's going on here?
I had
like,
to stop watching that film part of the way through it because I was so like traumatized by
There's not even any whales.
I know.
No, there's a bit with a cliff.
Yeah. That's the exact
I'm betting
bit.
That's it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. For the like the first time in maybe a couple of years I rewatched Shaun of the Dead recently.
It's still great.
Still very good. I caught it in a way that I hadn't before. Like I, you know, I'm the one that is right next to you, like elbowing, going like, oh, in this scene they did this. But it really struck me how there's still character development happening even at the very end of the movie in a way that I didn't appreciate until I've become like a little bit of a better critic. Like it's still a really solid, interesting script right up till the end. And it just didn't strike me at the time when I was just, you know, enjoying the movie.
Yeah. I feel like there is value in rewatching. Like I said, I'm rewatching Succession Season 3 in prep for 4. And it is like having the... Knowing what's coming, you're kind of... You're, like the start of Season 3, I was definitely like Team Kendall. And now rewatching it, I'm more like, do you know what? I have a lot of sympathy for Roman now that I never had. But yeah, it's interesting how
well he does ruin a meeting, Roman, in that
season. He does. They all look. No one in. It's hard to have sympathy for many people in that show. Mm. But yeah, it's still great.
Oh, I can't wait. How long have we got?
That could be a 10 out of 10. Who knows? Imagine if it's just. Oh, imagine if they absolutely shit the bed. How disappointing!
Yeah.
I don't think they will. I think they know where they're going with it.
For me, the last season of Barry, by the way, for earlier.
Oh, yeah.
I do need to rewatch Barry. I still haven't ever watched an episode.
Yeah.
That's on my list.
It's a really good show. I enjoyed it a lot. And for me, like, in terms of comfort films, I think mine would be, like, I was sick recently, as you can probably hear. My voice is kind of going. But Paddington is such a lovely film to watch when you're not feeling very well.
Paddington 1, yes, like Paddington 2, though, will destroy you, though. I can't deal with that emotional...
Right off the bat as well, the first 10 minutes. So sad. But it is a really good movie. And yeah, like, Paddington 2 is great too. Like, I can't wait for the third one. But yeah, that is a really nice, like, I think that's a bit more wholesome than Midsommar, maybe. Like, but
I would say so. Yeah, probably a little bit. Like,
it's got mild peril.
Like, obviously, my comfort game is Football Manager. Started my Fiorentina save last week. And I played a season and I got my head was turned by an opportunity in Germany. So I'm now a Bayer Leverkusen manager. I'm sure everyone's interested.
Congratulations. But,
we're doing well, third in the league. I'm going to take on Bayern for the title. It's happening. We're going to do it. Stay tuned for probably no more updates on that career. But there we go. What a lovely episode. I'm gonna go and have some birthday cake, I think.
Oh,
I've got a nice, after saying that white chocolate isn't my favourite anymore, got a nice white chocolate and strawberry cream cake.
Oh wow. What is it, like a shop bought one, or did you get it made? Is it
no, like a shop bought one. I think it might even be Marks and Spencer's.
Ooh,
very premium.
Someone's earning.
There we go.
Ooh. I'll enjoy it. Not all of that, because I would die if I ate the whole of that cake, I think, because it is indulgent. Cool. IGN underscore UK feedback at IGN.com. I won't be on next week, because I will be out of the country, but look, take good care of the show for me, guys.
You'll have me. You'll have probably the other Matt.
Oh, well, whoever's on, just don't let me down, because I'll be listening probably okay, on my cool. flight back.
I'll pinky swear.
Okay. Right. Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye. But I keep coming.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz. And how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.